I'm with Michael Feingold, who has just won the George G. Nathan Award for his work writing with Theatomania. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Do you want to tell us the name of your column and your remit?
My column in Theatomania is called Thinking About Theatre, which
and your remit?
Is appropriate.
Your remit is to think about theatre and write about it.
Yes, I suppose that's what you would call it. I mean, it's essentially anything that interests me and that, for the sake of my editors, can link to plays or productions that are going on now or are currently being discussed. So it could be any sort of theater-related issue. I've written a piece about ethnic casting, and I've written a piece about, you know, how to read press releases and play titles to decide what to go to. And I'm trying to think, well, they said, don't you want to write a piece about the Arthur Miller Centennial? And I said, yes, I'll write a piece about Ibsen.
Mm.
And the link to Arthur Miller, because I had been to the production of A View from the Bridge a few nights before.
The one that came over from London?
The one that came over from London, yes. And at the same time, I'd been teaching theater history students about the advent of Ibsen and A Doll's House. And suddenly there was A Doll's House all over A View from the Bridge. In fact, Miller loved Ibsen, and as you know. And there's Ibsen all through. There was a very fine production, which I'm sorry you've missed, of Incident at Vichy.
Yes, I did. Was that the Signature?
At the Signature,
yeah, and
yes.
I just missed that. So
a beautiful performance by Darren Petty as Leduc, the psychiatrist. And a very, very strong piece of staging by Michael Wilson. The play is a little schematic, but which is part of what Miller inherited from Ibsen, but it's also very real and very historically true, and it holds up. I was surprised by how strongly it played, which was a good thing.
Has Miller come back into vogue in New York now?
I don't know that he was ever out of vogue, and I don't know that he was ever, or that he will ever be vogue-ish. You know, I don't believe in fashion. That's part of the approach of my column, is never mind about that fashion stuff. Think about the whole picture. Think about the entire stretch of the theater and the plays we're not seeing. Think about how complex a play is and the way it fits into our culture. But don't think about, you know, this is the playwright who's the flavor of the month. We've got a number of those. Some of them are very good. Some of them are, I could live without them. One of the ones who's, I think, on the way to being very good is Stephen Karam, whose new play, The Humans, is transferring to Broadway this week. And I don't know that he has found yet his focus or what he wants to write about. The play is rather diffuse, but there's also a very strong Chekhov influence in it. It's panoramic, and it's about all the different members of a family and their different problems, which seem to coalesce around a holiday meal. But it's also rather metaphysical and somewhat eerie. This was a funny experience. I went to this play and quite enjoyed it and took it seriously and did not find myself getting my back up or arguing violently about it, but there seemed something wrong, and I went back and looked at what I had written about his previous play, Sons of the Prophet, which was also much lauded but didn't transfer to Broadway, and I found that I had the same complaints about that. So his problems are staying with him, but he obviously has a passion, and he has a craft, and if he sticks at it, he's going to write something exciting. So,
and he's proving that it's still possible for young American playwrights to get to Broadway, then.
Yes. Well, we have quite a few who are doing that, and then there are some, like Annie Baker, who's played The Flick you just saw, who have not come to Broadway but are running very successfully off-Broadway and around the region.
I think The Flick ran fully 9 months at Barrow Street, something like
that. Well, I think
like
it probably has now. Is it closing?
It's closing because the New York cast is going to London. Well, a New York cast is going to London. To the National Theatre, no.
That's very... Well, and it's worth it. There was a lot of controversy when the Flick opened, which is, I think, a year and a half ago now, and I actually did one of my first pieces for Theatre Mania about the issues people raised when they were complaining about it, because I couldn't figure out the basis of the complaints. The play is not short, but every minute is full. It doesn't explain itself. It simply goes on. The people are living there. You watch them. You watch the relationship. You watch the connections. And it's hard for me to imagine that anybody wouldn't be interested.
It's odd, because there were a few people, I think, who didn't make it back after the interval, and there were pauses that would have scared Harold Pinter, but they made perfect sense because this is attempting to replicate real life, and that's what happens in real life.
Yes, we've had this kind of hyper-realism before. For your English listeners, I should mention David's story, and one of the reasons I wasn't at all surprised by how good this play is that I remember The Contractor, which is a wonderful play where essentially you watch people put up a tent in Act 1 and then you watch them take it down in Act 2. And the Flick is about three people who work in an old movie theater, and each scene is another night of cleaning up after the patrons have left the old movie theater and the relationship between these three people. And you learn to love them. She has this gift for making her characters real. She and the same director, Sam Gold, did another play at the Signature this year called John, a quite eccentric play set in a bed and breakfast near Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, to the two young people. The young couple who are guests in the B&B are a man who's a Civil War buff and is somewhat reluctant girlfriend. The relationship is very complicated, and part of the crisis, there's a very odd relationship to the elderly lady who runs the B&B and to her best friend who shows up. These are the only four characters. The best friend is blind and has been through a demented phase. There are quite a number of surreal things in the play, and yet it seems to just move on very naturally. I still don't quite know what it's about, but I'm fascinated by it.
That describes all of Annie Baker.
Yes, there is always, she makes reality so intense that it has a metaphysical level.
It's interesting, you want
to question it, and you feel yourself gripped by it without understanding why.
It's interesting. She has managed to cross over to Britain. So Circle Mirror Transformation was played there, and I think The Aliens as well. So she has made it, which...
Well, in fact, she's not only made it to Britain, but to Canada. She's made an adaptation of Uncle Vanya, which played here, I think, 3 years ago, and is now going to be a big event up in Canada. I forget if it's the Shaw Festival or the Stratford Shakespeare Festival. But, that's a big call when an American adaptation of a classic is done up there. It's not common.
So we've talked about a couple of younger playwrights up and coming who are good.
There are quite a lot of
others. Who else is there that's been doing stuff this year? Put you on the spot.
Well, put me on the spot and see if I care. Taylor Mack is really more of a performer than a playwright, but he's a highly imaginative person, and he's just had a play which is irritating and bad and overdone, but it's full of issues that people want to talk about, and it excited a lot of attention. It's called Hir, H-I-R, which is because one of the characters in it is a transgender person who doesn't want to be either him or her and insists on being addressed as Z. And referred to as here. This character, however, is not the main character, which indicates some of the flaws in the play. The main character is a soldier back from Iraq, with a very checkered past and has to confront his domineering mother, who in his absence has come out from under her even more domineering husband's domineering. And the mother is played, or was played, because I think that play is closed now.
I think it's got a few more days to go. This is New Year's Eve, to put things into perspective.
It's New Year's Eve. You can't expect me to talk rationally about anything. But I think they close this weekend, and Christine Nielsen, who's an actress of gigantic talent, and I say this not only because she has done very well in one of my translations within the last 2 years, but because she has also played leads on Broadway and won a Tony Award, and is an actress of spectacular gifts, which she had the opportunity to show in here. And that's really the main point that I walked away saying. I wouldn't honestly recommend anyone to go and see this play, but on the other hand, it's such a fabulous performance, you see.
What about on Broadway? Is there anything on Broadway
in the season that's exciting you? Obviously, first off, there's Hamilton, but everybody's heard about that.
British listeners may well not have done, so tell us about Hamilton.
Wait, I'm sorry, say that again.
British listeners may well not have heard about Hamilton or know of Hamilton, but don't know any more than its existence.
The star is playing the smallest role, which is George III. I'm not sure at this point if it's Jonathan Groff or Brian Darcy. No, it's Jonathan Groff, because Brian Darcy James is busy in a very silly musical about Shakespeare called Something Rotten, which is not bad enough to be called rotten, but is also not great enough to be a gigantic hit. It has about three numbers in it that are very funny. Hamilton really is a phenomenon because it succeeds the way an old musical succeeded at pleasing everybody, and it uses a brand new vocabulary which is not customary for musicals, and which theoretically shouldn't please a lot of the audience that go to musicals, which is the hip-hop vocabulary. But really, Lin-Manuel Miranda is a spectacularly bright lyricist and an enormously skillful musician, and he has an enormously capable team working with him and a tremendous cast.
This is the In the Heights Man.
And this is his musical about the life of Alexander Hamilton, which is probably going to be socially decisive. There is a lot of debate about whether Hamilton should stay on, I never remember if it's the $10 or the $20 bill. But whichever it is, he's probably going to stay there because the musical has given such a renewed picture of his importance to American history, as well as raising a lot of issues. So it makes you think a great deal. Then the other exciting musical on Broadway, which also came from the Public Theater a year before Hamilton, is Fun Home. And this is directed by Sam Gold, who also directed The Flick and the other Annie Baker play I was speaking of, which is called John. And Fun Home is an intimate musical about family life. It's based on, I wanted to say a graphic novel, but in fact it's a graphic memoir by a woman who's a comic book artist about her father and mother and the traumatic story of their marriage and her upbringing. The graphic novelist is a lesbian, and the story is of the young woman's coming out, but there is a complication involving her father's complicated sexual history, which she and her parents both have to confront. And her father is a small town undertaker or funeral director. And so the title is actually the abbreviation they use in memoranda for a funeral home, Fun Home. So it is a picture of a home that isn't really any fun at all, except that the musical manages to have a lot of fun and wrap you up in this wonderful story, which is very moving and very upsetting. It's done in the circle in the square, which is quite an odd and notoriously difficult space, and they've done a masterful job of staging it to the satisfaction of people sitting all over the space.
In the round, yes.
It's not really the round. Someone said they should really change the name of the theater from the circle in the square to the ovoid in the rhomboid. But whatever it is, Sam Gold has solved the problem of staging there in a better way than most of the directors who came before him. And Judy Kuhn and Michael Cerveris, who play the parents, are giving what I think are probably the best psychologically grounded performances on Broadway at the moment. And that's saying a lot because they're in a musical. And it's just, I keep thinking of, they each have a fairly huge song toward the end of the piece. So it's like a musical with 2 11 o'clock numbers. And I can't get my mind away from them. They're both heartbreaking and wonderful.
That sounds encouraging.
So that, and everyone also said, well, why are they moving this to Broadway? This will never run. The tourists don't want to see this, and it's been selling out and selling extremely, no, it's not selling as well as Hamilton, but nothing is. Hamilton, as well as being a good musical, is the flavor of the month and the talk of the town. Fun Home is just a really excellent musical. And there is something else on Broadway, which is, you would have called it business as usual, except now it constitutes an oddity, and it's been treated very badly in the press, which is Al Pacino in a new David Mamet play.
This is China Doll.
China Doll is the name of the play, that is correct. And it is a most interesting phenomenon, because I think the play has been very badly underrated, because Pacino's performance is alternately so showy and so technically limited by what he can do at this stage in his career, having been not on stage all that often in the last 30 years. Although he has been recently, I remember his performance recently in a production of Merchant of Venice that was better and stronger focused than this. But the role is a monster. It is virtually the whole text of the play, and it's not that short a play, although it's, I think, 80 minutes. It is all a conducting of multiple conversations on the phone and with someone in the room. And so you have to constantly focus and convey to the audience what people who are not saying anything are saying, or people whom they don't hear are saying. It's, I think, probably some younger and more alert stage actor who does not have Pacino's star mannerisms to rely on, and does not carry with him the burden of being Pacino and displaying your star stuff for the audience, will have an easier time with this script, although it's a monster, and will want to take on the challenge. I'm expecting there to be a revival of it somewhere else, I don't know, London, L.A., Seattle, Minneapolis, Boston, who knows? And everybody will jump up and down and say, gee, this play is really much better than we thought. And it was just the performance that threw us off. And then there will be another New York production with the new actor, and everybody will have to come back and eat crow about it. I don't know how true that is. I suspect that there are flaws in the thinking of the play itself. This is funny. I was actually having a long discussion with a law professor about legal issues involved in the play, which is about a hugely wealthy man who gets in legal trouble, which multiplies as the piece goes on.
This is becoming Mammoth Land at the moment, because Race was
Mammoth has always been...
Race was on similar themes. Well, Race was on racial themes as well.
Race is on similar themes in a different area. Yeah. The Anarchist is on similar themes in a different area. But Mammoth has always been fascinated by the legal ins and outs of this. Glengarry Glen Ross is about this, too. So it's not a surprise when he readdresses an old theme from a new angle. I think The Anarchist, by the way, is also a play that was underrated when it was done on Broadway and hasn't had a lot of production since. And I think there's more to be found in that script than was given. In that case, the director was Mamet himself, who isn't his own best spokesman as a director. This was Pam MacKinnon, who is usually pretty good about these things, but has apparently had a very hard time here. And I don't know, I'm expecting another version of this play at some point soon, but in the meantime, the audience that wants to see Al Pacino is crowding in to see it like crazy, so they're not complaining.
Michael Feingold, let's now get on to the New Year's celebrations. Thank you very much indeed.
Yes, thank you. It's a pleasure, and Happy New Year.